KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, it's cloudy and 65 degrees. We look for it to be partly cloudy and warmer today with isolated showers and thunderstorms, a high of 85. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News. Topping the news, rescue crews are responding at this hour to a rollover accident on the Marney Road. One person was said to have been injured, according to dispatch reports. Emergency crews and law enforcement were called just before 8 a.m., that is, to the scene. We currently have no other details available. A former University of Iowa professor who co-authored a book called Why Iowa has taken a leave from his current post on the East Coast to drive back into the Iowa caucus scene.
My goal is to see what is the same and what is different about the Iowa caucuses, but more generally, it's to understand whether the caucuses continue to have the impact on the rest of the nominating process that we found it did in our book, Why Iowa.
David Redlosk, who taught at the University of Iowa for a decade, returned to the state in August. He saw all the 2020 candidates who spoke at the Des Moines Register's political soapbox at the Iowa State Fair.
It's a little overwhelming. And a little bit difficult to differentiate many of them from each other. At the same time, I was kind of impressed by the size of the crowds, even for the also-rans.
In mid-August, Redlosk took in the Wingding in Clear Lake, where 22 Democratic presidential candidates spoke, and he's attended several solo events, like former Texas Congressman Beto O'Rourke's return to Iowa campaign trail 2 weeks ago. Redlosk expects the Democratic candidates to criticize President Trump, but he's been surprised that all the candidates are talking about health care.
Even if there are great variations in what the candidates want, they're all talking about it. I think that one jumps right out at me.
And Redlosk is teaching a class about the Iowa caucuses this semester at the University of Iowa. He says every single cycle in sort of April, May, June, everybody asks, will Iowa matter? And a lot of talking heads say, nope, not this time. Redlosk says, yeah, this time the campaign is more national earlier, but he thinks Iowa is still going to play a critical role that it's played for the past 40 years. Redlosk was an active commentator on Twitter last week as the Democratic National Committee rejected the state's party's plan for virtual caucuses. Redlosk warns Iowa's role as the leadoff state in 2024 and beyond will depend on providing greater accessibility to the caucus process without looking at a primary. Redlosk says the University of Iowa in 2009 joined the Rutgers faculty. He's been chair of the University of Delaware's political science department since 2016. Businesses partnering with the state to provide real-world student learning opportunities are expected to boost career education for rural Iowa school districts. The state is using the recently unveiled Iowa Clearinghouse for Work-Based Learning to help students build job skills, and the Waterloo-Cedar Falls Courier reported businesses, nonprofits, and governmental organizations can post real-world task force on a project board that students can then complete under the supervision of teachers. Teachers can also use it to connect students to job shadow, internship, and apprenticeship opportunities. Iowa Department of Education Director Ryan Weiss said, really, it's designed as a virtual space. He said the program will broaden access to learning that hasn't been available for some students, especially those in the rural areas. Stacy Asher, who coordinates credit course offerings at the Outreach Center, said it's a huge resource that will help students in northeastern Iowa. Credit course offerings are in manufacturing, healthcare, and agricultural fields, as well as the liberal arts. Asher is already organizing some work-based learning for students at the center. Freshmen in all participating districts do manufacturing worksite tours, where they learn about a variety of jobs at the business on and off the factory floor. Asher said students in the area do between 250 and 300 job shadows each year and an average of 100 internships. Weiss said such learning opportunities can spark interest among young people in a way classroom lessons do not. He said one of the biggest challenges he sees in too many places is a lack of student engagement. Iowa's Morningside College has announced its first doctoral program, a Doctor of Nursing Practice. The 30-credit program will be launched this fall. It'll be delivered online and is designed for working nurses seeking advancement in their field. Jackie Barber, dean of the Morningside College Nyland School of Nursing, said the program is designed for nurses who want to take their career to the next level. The program is entirely online and has taken over an 18-month period. Barber says offering it online will give working nurses the flexibility to complete the coursework and studies on their own schedules. The hulking vacant John Deere tractor factory in Waterloo that was built in 1947 has been saved from the wrecking ball and transformed into an upscale hotel. Originally called the C2 building, the six-story structure is now a Courtyard by Marriott. Michael Moraine at the Iowa Department of Cultural Affairs said the project has won a top historic preservation award from the state of Iowa.
It was an opportunity and a challenge for the architects envisioned to come in and figure out how to turn this empty brick box into a stylish, swanky hotel for modern guests.
It's unusual for Marriott to cover a historic property, but Moraine says the company saw an opportunity to open a high-end boutique hotel in the area of Waterloo that was often being overlooked.
If you get a chance to walk in, it feels like an old building. You can immediately see the historic elements, but it also feels like a modern, stylish hotel that is polished and has all of the creature comforts that guests are used to.
Davenport developer Rodney Blackwell worked with the state and with Marriott to preserve the 200,000-square-foot building, which had been vacant for years, and give it new life.
One cool solution that the architects came up with, on each floor, there were lots of windows to let in light, but the windows were too high to see out of, so they raised the floor. They built false floors on each of the floors, which let people see out those windows. But those raised floors also provided space to hide all of the wires and all of the ductwork and things.
Residents all across Iowa are encouraged to take a closer look at their local history and consider ways to repurpose old buildings instead of knocking them flat.
So often we find that the easier, quicker solution might be to bulldoze them and build new. But really, there are all kinds of examples of communities in Iowa that have really rallied around historic properties and turned them into anchors for arts and culture and vibrant gathering places.
The Iowa State Historical Society said the project displays one of the best recent examples of historic preservation in the state. The city of Ames has been awarded a $1.66 million U.S. Department of Transportation grant to put more electric buses into the city's public transportation fleet. The city recently announced that SciRide will use the money to replace several diesel buses that have exceeded their useful life. The public transportation entity will also buy battery chargers and dispensers and complete facility modifications to support the technology. Interim Transit Director Barbara Neal says the grant is good news for Ames. She says supporting public transportation is a great way to reduce your own carbon footprint while moving to electric buses will help SciRide reduce its emissions. The Transportation Department's Federal Transit Administration Low or No Emission Grant Program has funded over $300 million in new buses, infrastructure, and training since its establishment. Developers are pitching the idea of creating a $100 million entertainment district in the Des Moines suburb of Waukee. Television station KCCI reports developers have scouted an area of 27 acres in Waukee for a concert venue, bars, and restaurants. The developers hope to have a site plan approved this year as early as October. Waukee resident Caleb Short said people who live west of Des Moines don't want to drive all the way downtown for their entertainment. Elsewhere in state news, one person is dead after a fire broke out in an apartment complex in Indianola. KCCI reports the fire was reported at around 6:37 a.m. Sunday at the Foxwood Apartments in Indianola. The apartment belonged to a 64-year-old woman. An autopsy will be conducted to determine if she was the person killed in the blaze. The cause of the fire has not yet been determined, but authorities say foul play is not suspected. The American Red Cross says more than two dozen people were displaced by the fire. A Des Moines man is charged with first-degree murder in what police say was the city's 10th homicide of 2019. Police responded to a call about a shooting Saturday afternoon and found the body of 45-year-old John Lee Belcher of Des Moines inside a home. Charges were announced Sunday against 47-year-old Stanley Paul Wolford of Des Moines. Witnesses told police they heard 4 to 6 gunshots. Police have not disclosed a potential motive for the shooting. And the Iowa Department of Corrections reports 27-year-old Dakota Ray Nordstrom, who was convicted of domestic abuse, third or subsequent offense, and other crimes in Polk County, failed to report back to the Fort Madison residential facility as required Saturday night. Nordstrom is a white male, 6'2", weighing about 200 pounds. He was admitted to work release on July 12th. You can see a picture of him in the same story on the news page at KJAN.com. Persons with information about Nordstrom's whereabouts should contact their local police department. And finally, in state news, an Iowa soldier killed in the attack on Pearl Harbor in 1941 will finally be laid to rest in his home state. William James Shanahan, Jr. of Cedar Rapids was killed in the December 7, 1941 attack that pushed the U.S. into World War II, but his remains went unidentified for 78 years. Shanahan's sister, Mary Lou Shanahan Pierce, donated DNA almost 20 years ago. Finally, this past May, that DNA sample found a match, and Williams' remains were positively identified. A burial with full military honors is planned for tomorrow at the family plot in Cedar Rapids. Governor Kim Reynolds has ordered all flags in Iowa to fly half-staff from sunrise to sunset to honor Shanahan. That's a check of the news on KJAN. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.